Good morning, and how's everyone doing today? What a great weekend we had at church. And let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look at your word and help me, Lord, to be ever faithful to your word and that we can learn together. Thus here, reading your word, that you can help us to understand it and that we can gain something that we could use in our daily lives. You'll be with us and bless us in this teaching. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we are in chapter 42, Ezekiel 42, and we're continuing in the Millennium Kingdom. This is the time frame. And I don't think I'm going to get through the all of chapter 42. So I thought I'd do a little review. So I wanted to I felt a need to kind of discuss the different temples and the difference and the fact that there's some out there like to try to say that that the millennium, isn't millennium isn't going to happen. It's not reality and it's not something that we're ever going to see. It's something symbolic. And we've gone through a couple of chapters now and showed how much detail Ezekiel has given us about this temple. And because he was doing it in 536 BC, I want you to realize that he had already seen one temple destroyed. It just got destroyed within his lifetime, the first temple. And that there's going to be one more built and that Herod's going to build after they come back from the captivity. And that's all in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And that's going to be the temple that Jesus actually ministers in. And of course, we know that there's going to be a temple during the tribulation that the Antichrist is going to defile. So I wanted to kind of look at a couple of those temples, and so we can see some of the differences so that you can realize that what we're talking about here is not any one of them. So we may only get through that today. I'm trying to keep these to a half hour each. And so let's just proceed and put some verses up here. And I'm going to at least read the first verse of Ezekiel 42. Let me bring up. Where is my temple? There it is. Okay, this is the opening scene of the slides for Ezekiel chapter 42. But let me get the old one. And we'll actually put this as a backdrop. Here's the one we just finished, Ezekiel 41. And so we can get a little bit of a perspective of what we're looking at. And let me get to, as we read this, I'm going to start with the temple that Ezekiel just saw destroyed. And we see that over in Kings, 1 Kings 6. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. That wasn't where I started. That's Ezekiel. Why am I getting, in the wrong verses there. Okay, now I got it fixed. I guess I'm going to need the bigger version anyways. So I'll go back to the upper one like we've been doing. And I'll put myself down at the bottom. Okay. And it came to pass in 488th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the Mount Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now, this is Solomon building the first one. Remember that David, because he was a man of war, God had given the task to his son Solomon to build. And this is where we see it written in 1 Kings. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, which is 60 feet, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. Those are almost the exact same dimensions that we see here. So the size of the temple really isn't that much different. So I'll say that up front. It's more about what goes on there and some of the things around it. And the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits. And that's where we can kind of look at this. Was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. So this is what you're seeing here. There's 5 cubits on either side, and with the 10 cubits in the middle, gives you the total width of 20 cubits. Then we go on the inside. And for the house, he made windows of narrowing lights. Those are on the sides. Let me get to a picture like that. Right there, see the narrowing lights. So far, it's pretty close. And against the wall of the house, he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house, round about, both of the temple and of the oracle, and he made chambers round about. So those chambers you see there, which we saw. In the side here, those are chambers you see in the picture there. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits. Let me get to that area. So you see a little difference here. It's 5 cubits wide. Five cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. That's the width. And that's a slightly different than this one, but it does get, they get wider as it go up. That the beams should not be fastened to the walls of the house. And you can see here they're not. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house when it was in building. And the door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. And we see that here, the circular staircases. So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with the timber of cedar. And that's what he's talking about here. Let me do this differently, like I was doing before, so I can use my cursor. Okay, now you can see my cursor. So you can see the stairs and how they get wider going up. And you see the bottom layer is more narrow, and they get wider as they go up. So we can see that at least up to this point, that it's pretty much the same. The other part that talks about this is over in Second Chronicles. Now, these are the things which Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God, the length 5 cubits, after the first measure was 80 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. A lot of this is repeat. And the porch that was in the front of the house, the length of it was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the height was 120, and he overlaid it within the pure gold. And the greater house he circled with fir tree, which he overlaid with fine gold, and set thereon palm trees and chains. And he garnished the house with precious stones for beauty, and the gold was gold of Parvaim. He overlaid also the house, the beams, the posts, and the walls thereof, and the doors thereof with gold engraved cherubims on the walls. And he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and he overlaid it with fine gold, amounting to 600 talents. And the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold, and he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. And in the most holy house he made two cherubims of image work, and overlaid them with gold. So just to show you an idea of an artist's picture of this, let me show you a drawing of what they what this particular temple would look like. And the big difference here is as you can see here that the palm trees are slightly different, and there's stairs leading up to the Holy of Holies. And you see these two big cherubims inside the Holy of Holies, and it describes these. And you notice in our temple in the millennium, it doesn't show that. And you can see the description of the side chambers you see over here are quite a bit different than the actual chambers of ours. Some of the big areas is, if you remember when we were talking about where the priests wash, this is the brazen altar over here, and they washed in this with the, this is described in Exodus and Leviticus when it was talking about the place where the priests would wash prior to going into the temple. So there's some of the differences you can see already that are quite striking. And the next temple we're going to look at is the one in Jesus' time. Now, there's no straight description of Jesus' temple, but there's some things about it that are fairly easy to see that are quite different based on some of the things that Jesus talks about. And this is a picture of Jesus' temple. Now, you see quite a bit of difference between temple we've been looking at in the millennium in this particular temple. You notice there's no side areas. And the few verses we have, a lot of this description actually comes from Josephus. That's what they used to build this model. And I didn't bother to get that description. But this is well known by the scholars to be a good representation of the temple that was around. It's the one Herod built. And Herod really wasn't in it for because it was a godly man. He was just somebody that liked to build stuff, and that he wanted to build the most grandest thing he could build. So that he kind of volunteered to build this, even though he wasn't, I don't think he ever stepped foot in it. He just liked building big things and giving himself a name. But some of the verses that talk about it, this particular one. Starting over in Matthew 4. This is during Jesus' temptation. And you can see this area up top here as the pinnacle of the temple. It's quite high. And here the devil is talking. The devil taketh him up into the holy city and selleth him a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hands, and they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I like how Jesus used scripture to actually, I'm sure if you've been around in churches very long, you've heard sermons about this particular verse. When it comes to tempting the Lord thy God, but also the fact that that Jesus uses scripture in order to prove his point when he's confronting Satan, and that it's a good example for us that whenever we're trying to defend our beliefs, using scripture is the best way to do that. So moving on in Matthew 21:12-16. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, David, they were sore displeased. And said unto them, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast perfected praise? So that most likely was happening in this outside area here. Where the money changers were set up to sell things. So they might have been under these alcoves here, which we'll get to in a minute. It's called Solomon's Porch. Might have been where that was happening also. Then over in Matthew 27:51, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now this veil, as we were looking at before, going back to a different temple, but you see these doors right here, and both the one we've been talking about and this one here, which was the first temple, there's actual doors there. But in Herod's temple, when it was built, there was actually a curtain there, similar to the tabernacle. And this is the veil that was torn in two during Jesus' crucifixion. So you can see there's a difference already. Also in John 5:14, And afterward Jesus finding him in the temple and saying unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. So Jesus was in and out of this temple all the time, every day. Quite a bit during the final period of time. And we're talking about Solomon's porch, and Jesus hearing John is talking about Jesus used to walk in this area all the time. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And that's this area that wraps around the entire porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. That was the Pharisees trying to get Jesus to admit to things that, which he had already done plenty of times. But they were just trying to, pick on him doesn't sound like a strong enough word, but basically confront him, find reasons to confront him. So that's those two temples, and I guess we will jump into the verses. So maybe we'll finish this up. I thought maybe this might have to break this into two. But let me get the right temple up here. Okay, I'll jump in here to this. So we're going to be finishing up the, I'm going to mention something about the Tribulation Temple also, but I'm going to do it during this phase so you can see, because we haven't got to that part yet of this study. So continuing here in verse 42, before the length of the hundred, okay, here's the a sky view of the temple we're going to talk about today. And the other big area that I want to point out that you didn't see in any of the other two temples we're going to talk about today are these areas beside the temple. They don't mention those at all. And of course, you know, they didn't mention any of the gates. There are gates in Jesus' temple and both the other gates, but not quite the same. Let me bring that other one back just briefly. Just for another second to point that out. There are gates, as you can see over here. There's a gate here. It goes straight in. So this would be like the east gate. But the other two gates aren't on this level. As you see over here, these two entrances, they actually are entrances that go down into the wall and out to the, out near, I don't have a picture of the entire area around the temple, but that they basically go down into the wall, down to the ground level where they come out. So that realize that this particular temple has a quite a superstructure underneath it that's got things in it also. So that the gates don't go straight out the sides into the land. The only one that goes straight out is this first one. And I think on this side here, there might be one that goes into, this is Antonio's fortress over in the corner here, which isn't shown in our temple either. So this temple is quite a bit different. And you notice here too of this temple, I don't have the whole thing, but this one here didn't have, it had similar gates. I don't know if I got any other pictures I can show you of the whole temple complex in the earlier days. Now, here's one. This is going back to the first temple. And you can see here, this is the temple area and how the setup, the entire setup is a lot different than what we see in our temple. And this is that front gate you were talking about. And they call this the, I got a name for it, because the actual slaughtering of the sacrifice is done way out here, and it's carried across into the temple area. The sacrifices are done, the red heifer. So they call this the Red Heifer Bridge. You can see that this is the original temple that got destroyed when Ezekiel's day. And now, you know, it's kind of not, you can't really see a lot of detail. You can see that it's quite a bit different than what we've been looking at. So back to our temple. So, back to the verses. So we're going to be talking about these, they call dining room blocks, and this is the big difference. So this is what I wanted to really, why I went through those other ones, because it wanted you to see the differences. That none of this stuff we're talking about today exists in those other temples. Now, I'm sure the priests ate, but it's interesting that it seems like this temple, you get the, whereas the other temples didn't have God in them all the time. Well, we know in Ezekiel's time that God had left the temple. and didn't return and hasn't returned yet. And he'll be returning into this one, which we'll get into tomorrow. But what was I going to say? No, I can't think of it. Maybe it'll come to me. So moving on, verse 3. Over against the, let me move me, let's. Me move this verses for a second, just so you can see that dining room block up here. We're going to be talking about these particular areas. And that's near the north entrance. So a little perspective, we got the north entrance up here and the east entrance over here and the south entrance over here. And you notice we didn't have those in any of the other temples. So here's what verse 3 is talking about. Over against the 20 cubits which were for the inner court, and over against the pavement which was for the outer court, was gallery against gallery in 3 stories. So these galleries is what we're talking about today. Verse 4, and before the chamber was a walk of 10 cubits breadth inward, and a way of 1 cubit, and the doors toward the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the galleries were higher than those in the lower and than the middlemost of the building. So unlike the other ones we saw before, these actually are the ones on top are actually narrower, and then as you go down, they get wider and wider. So unlike the rooms that are in here, which go just the opposite, these are actually getting wide, skinnier as they go up. For they were in 3 stories, but had no pillars as the pillars of the courts. Therefore, the building was straightened more than the lowest and the middle most. For the, so they didn't have any pillars on the inside either. Middlemost from the ground. For they were in 3 stories and had no pillars as the pillars of the courts. Therefore, the building was strengthened more than the lowest and the middlemost from the ground, basically saying that they built it where the base has got more girth to it for structural strength than the top. That's basically what that's saying. And the wall that was without over against the chambers toward the outer court on the fore part of the chambers, the length thereof was 50 cubits. Move that for a second. And you can see that this one on the more northern side is narrower, is 50 cubits wide, and this one on the closest to the temple is 100 cubits. And there's a 50 cubits of a stone wall there. For the length of the chambers that were in the outer court was 50 cubits, and lo, before the temple were 100 cubits. And from under these chambers was the, can't see the verses. And from under these chambers was the entry on the east side, as one goeth into them from the outer court. We're going to go to the other side. The chambers were in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, over against a separate place and over against the building. And the way before them was like the appearance of the chambers which were toward the north, as long as they and as broad as they, and all goings out were both according to their fashions and according to their doors. Basically saying that this is a carbon copy of the other ones. And according to the doors of the chambers that were toward the south was a door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall, toward the east as one entereth into them. Then said he unto me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers, where the priests that approach unto the Lord shall eat the most holy things. There they shall lay their most... You know, I think I'm going to stop. We did the description, and what's coming up next is we're going to talk more about the actual what the priests are going to start doing. So I think I'm going to stop there for today. And then we're going to get into some of the daily activities of the area. So we'll pick this up again tomorrow. And so I will end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Get to look in your word. And Lord, again, so excited about the day we're going to actually see these temples built, and that we're going to be serving with you and reigning with you and be your servants, Lord. And we look forward to that day so much. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you guys again tomorrow, and we'll pick up right here where we left off. And I hope you have a great day.